Well, if you have problems, burning down the house may not be the best solution unless you have a really good insurance policy. Better ways of dealing with problems. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that.
What, a better way of dealing with problems?
You mean the best way, of course, is to call in and seek the advice of the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence U. Bell, who are also known as... accurate building
inspectors. You're cracking yourself up over there.
Yeah. Once in a while I say something indiscreet on the air, and maybe you guys bring it out in me, but I...
because we tend to do it all the time.
Actually, he's sitting on a feather.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a pleasure to see you, and reminded that our number here is 433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. When you come by, we always have a little quiz, but... before we get to the quiz, should we talk a bit about this weather? We had really hot weather just a couple of days ago. Now it's gotten kind of chilly and rainy.
Actually, it happened yesterday between 9 in the morning and 11 in the morning. It went from, I walk out the door, it's hot, and then I go out for lunch, and it's cold.
I wore a jacket because I had to go somewhere last night and sweated all my way into the office. And then when I left, I was just so happy that I had
it. Actually, we're going to pay the piper for this warm weather. There's no question about
it. And how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah, we're going to pay for it. Yeah.
By how?
It's going to get freezing cold, hopefully.
I was thinking that they're going to try to make up the money that they lost in the oil and gas that we haven't bought yet.
Oh, they are already.
Oh, they're going to do
they're
that?
They're already raising that. Across the board. All of it. Oil, gas, everything.
But they say the media has really been saying that this year's oil and gas prices are going to be a lot higher than they were last year. So it's time to start buckling down the hatches as far as trying to save energy.
Yeah. And what some of the things you can do is seal your windows. But is that always a good idea? Don't we want some air circulation?
Yes.
That has been a big problem with the new ruling of putting in double glazed windows. And the landlords are getting bonuses for that. And there was good sense of that. But what's happening now is that all of this moisture from the people breathing, bathing, cooking is captured into this house, and all of a sudden, voila, we have a fungus problem all over the city, all over the country.
So what are you saying? I should stop breathing and stop cooking? I've been trying to do
that. You've got to open up your window once in a while. Yeah. And let some of that, change some of that carbon dioxide and air get out.
Because I've actually found less problems in older buildings of these kind of sick house syndrome or mold or... high moisture conditions in buildings such as brownstones, townhouses.
Because they were built-in drafts.
Exactly. I mean, many of them, especially the old Victorians that have balloon framing, and I don't want to get blind people with science, but balloon framing is where, right now, the way people have seen people build buildings is they build the first floor platform, they put 8-foot studs up, they build the second floor platform, and then the top floor, and then the roof. In the old days, they just used to use one piece of wood that went from the foundation all the way up to the second or even a third floor. We're talking about pieces of wood that were 30, 35 feet in length.
That's balloon framing.
And so what would happen is the air would go around the outside of these buildings and just convect the heat out of the building.
And so does the fire.
The fire also. And that's why they needed fire stopping. But even with the fire stopping, there was no insulation. But one thing people can do to try to bring down that energy cost is they can go to our website, which is www.accuratebuilding.com. And on the left side of the homepage, there's a DIY link, which tells you how to do an energy audit. And if you could bring down your numbers by a few numbers here and there, pick up a few percentage here and there, this is money back into your pocket.
Yeah,
and it's free. And it's free.
We're not, it's a free energy audit, and it's been out for a long time. We've been giving it away, and it's very, very successful, and we get a lot of mail thanking us for all the money that people have saved.
I'm sure people are going to want to follow up on that, but can I read the quiz today?
Sure.
Let's have a vote.
Let's have a vote.
But he has four votes.
He got a veto.
This is a real democracy here.
Oh, yes, just like we have here.
I'm reading this.
Yes.
He's studying it now.
Well, I want to make sure it's written in English. It says, this quiz, this one has to do with the supporting poles for telephone or electric wires along the nation's highways and byways. Wow, you're getting so poetic. What is the name given to the transverse piece near the top of the pole that supports the insulators and the wires? Wow, now this is a toughie. You know, sometimes I've thought...
And by the way, this around the office, easy. you say he's being poetic. We call him Woody G around the office.
Well,
just to get an idea, what I'm trying to do is change a little bit of the dynamics of the words. And as we travel around the city, we look and see what people have seen, and they don't know the names of them.
Yes.
And I thought that this was a...
We've all seen this stuff.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, our number here is 212-433-9692. The Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell are my guests. And let us go to Donna from Oceanside, Long Island.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling actually with follow-up questions. You were very helpful. Actually, hope I'm going to get two in. You had advised me I was getting mold. I have a stall shower and a small master bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You told me to use acrylic caulking, but it was regrouted. What happened, they coated the grout, but they told me that there is no mold-proof coating. So could you clarify further?
Well, the acrylic grout has a fungicide already embedded into the material itself, so it doesn't need to be coated over. The only thing is that all of the in order to do a proper grout job, no matter what kind of grout you're using, you have to really remove the old grout because it has soap scum on it, and it has...
They did that, and
you got to cut it all out, and then wash the corner out with some detergent, and usually with alcohol is really the best thing, is to scrub it out with alcohol and let it dry, and then put in the acrylic grout. This grout can be easily made smooth with a big sponge, which they sell special for that, and all you do is need a little water and wipe it out really back and forth until it comes out to be a really nice, beautiful bead. And just leave it alone. You don't have to coat it. You don't have to do anything to it.
But let me say one thing, that if the mold keeps coming back, then there's another issue here. Remember, mold is not the problem. It's the symptom. The problem is the moisture level or the ambient humidity level in that bathroom is way too high, or you're not venting the air out, or air is not coming in. Remember, even if you put a negative pressure on a room, if there's no way to get the air into the room, the air is still going to stay pretty stagnant. So you got to get air in, you got to get air out. So if the ventilator is not working or the window never opens, you're going to still be fighting this mold problem.
Okay, and I've got that covered. Second question.
Mm-hmm.
Second question.
Yes, yes.
And you have to make it quick. You know, it's
just
unfair
throw it
to other people.
Just throw it out.
Okay. You talked about raccoons in the attic.
Well, actually, we talked about squirrels in the attic, but raccoons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick question. What is the proper device to put on the outside of an attic fan? Or there's different grades, you know, all these people that come scare you. Give me a realistic...
Well, what I would do is there's a thing in the hardware store called hardware cloth. These are half-inch square little boxes with very heavy metal. And that's what you got to put over it. Works like a shot.
Okay.
We
thank you
for your call. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate with the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. And we go now to Rob from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Rob.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your question?
Go forth and fix. Let me ask you a question.
Touche. I like that.
I have in the kitchen two fluorescent lights up in the light fixture. The bulbs were put in there 15 years ago, but I hardly ever use this light over the last 15 years. Now, sometimes I turn on the switch. Sometimes the lights, bulbs light up. Sometimes they don't. I got to play with it. Is there something wrong with the light bulbs?
Well, usually, if this is a double-pronged fluorescent on both sides, sometimes the contact inside the socket is not tight enough, and it arcs, and then your light bulb doesn't light up. What you have to do is shut off the electricity and then take a long-nose pliers up into the socket and squeeze those prongs closer together. The next time you put the bulb in, it'll make better contact. It's also what you do is on the prongs of the bulb itself, if you take a little sandpaper and just rub them off, so that any slime that's on it, because that could also cause an insulating value, and then put the bulbs back and see if it works.
But don't some of those old fluorescent fixtures have starters as well?
Well,
and then they wear out even if the bulbs are perfectly fine.
Does yours have starters in it? Good point.
Mine doesn't have a starter.
All right, so that's a type that's called an instant start fluorescent transformer. So what you do is usually just cleaning off the contact points works like a shot.
Thank you so much for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Marie from Queens. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Marie.
Hello. Hello. I wanted to ask about a device if it earns its energy uptake. There are devices that are sold that emit a high-pitched sound that's not audible to human ears. The claim is it repels rodents, I guess mice and rats, from nesting in the room. And I wanted to know if that is an effective pest control.
I don't see any. I haven't seen any
real hard data
on that. But I know that if you have a cat or a dog in the house with those devices, they go crazy.
Yes.
But also, I have to say that I have.
And your neighbor's dogs go crazy too.
But I mean, I know this is anecdotal and this is not scientific. But I've done many inspections where I do see them operating in basements. And the basements or the houses themselves do not have that inherent rodent smell to it. When you go into a cellar or a basement that has a rodent problem, there's a smell to it that is quite obvious. It's whether it's the droppings or just the urine from them. And so it's obvious. And when I go into them and I see them, that smell is not as prevalent. Whether it's kind of like, you know, the advertisement they have for all those fitness things where they have those beautiful people. Those people were beautiful before they started using it. So they may not have had a rat. They may not have had a rodent problem before they put it in. They were doing it precautionally. But anecdotally, I've seen them. I don't know, but I would. They're not how
it,
expensive.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It's like chicken soup. Will it help? Well, it won't hurt. You know, and I would give it a shot. And they're not that expensive. So I think that there's a. You know, there is a concept that they would work, and I understand why they would work. So, but I have no hard evidence on that.
We thank you for your call. Sarah from Weston, Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a jacuzzi tub in my master bath.
Mm-hmm.
When I fill
lucky
it with
you.
Water.
Yes?
Yes, lucky me. I just moved, and this is phenomenal.
I know, this is my area of expertise, because I have one, too, and I use it all the time. Go on.
When I fill it with water, and I put my bath and my son in it for a bath, and I fill it up about 6 inches, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. If I fill it up enough for a bath for myself, there is a lot of sand in the bottom of the tub.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure out, is it coming from my water? Is it coming from the tub?
Where do you live?
I live in Weston, Connecticut. I have well water, and I do have a radon system and a water softening system.
Okay. What I would say that if it's actual sand, because usually I was thinking that you were going to come up with the usual problem, which is people start up the jacuzzi tub and black stuff starts coming out of the pipes, which is very common, which is basically mold that forms in the pipes, so you have to clean that out. I think you need a filter on your system, a filter
okay.
on your water, on your fresh water, on your only on yeah, for you would be on the hot and cold side.
Yeah, it's called a particulate filter that only takes out the particulate matter that may come through the piping system.
Mm-hmm.
And that would prevent that sandy material on the bottom. Usually if you don't use a jacuzzi for a long time, the water that lingers on the bottom is actually a culture for mold and bacteria.
But she's saying that she actually, when she fills it up higher, what you're saying is that when you fill it up only a little bit, you don't get it. That's kind of odd, but maybe it's just not enough water in there to actually accumulate that amount of sand. So I would try a filter.
Okay.
On the system. Also, it could be particulate matter coming out of the water softener also, because they use salts in that.
That's right.
Right. So that could be that. Give that a try.
Thank you for your call. Ed from New York. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I've been waiting to ask this question for so long.
Well, I hope it wasn't an emergency then.
No. It's the whole...
I just want to say one thing. How do you feel that... How do you think the doctor shows handle this kind of question? I've had this pain. I have this lump.
Right, yeah.
And it's getting bigger. Go on.
It's about polarized plugs.
Yes.
First of all, I'm old enough to remember when they weren't polarized.
Actually, all plugs were polarized, even in the 1920s.
Uh-huh.
If you look very closely at the one that only has two prongs on it, you'll notice that one slot is a little bit shorter than the other slot. That was for the polarization. It never really caught on well, especially for light fixtures, but it was available. Now it is more prevalent, and the plugs themselves actually have the polarization.
And I think the reason for that is back in the 20s, litigation was as prevalent.
Yeah, people,
now in the modern era, anything that goes wrong with an appliance, there's going to be a litigation case.
Yeah, the shortcoming and the longcoming of that is that if it is an older building, and you put in a polarizing device, the idea is that maybe the house is not polarized, and so the electrician has to decide which one is actually the neutral and which one is really the hot leg. And that takes somebody to know what they're doing.
But what's your question?
Well, that was sort of the question.
Oh, okay.
You know, you buy a new lamp, but I live in a building that was built in 1856.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have electricity in 1856.
Well, that's when Alva Edison himself wired up the house.
But what
probably
I would but what I would consider doing is, first of all your outlets should be changed to three-prong outlets, and especially if you have BX cable, because you probably don't have knob and tube. You probably, this is in the city of New York.
Yeah.
You probably have BX cable or shielded cable, and I would change all of them to three-prong outlets. But also, spend a couple of dollars. It's only about $5 to $10. Go to the home center and buy yourself an outlet tester. And this everyone should have, and it usually has three lights on it. It tells you how it works, and it tells you whether the polarity is correct and whether it's grounded properly.
We thank you for your call. One more time, there's a quiz. Only one person has called in with an answer.
Didn't I tell you this was a toughie?
You did tell me that.
The quiz is about the supporting poles for telephone or electric wires along the highways and byways. I think it's the first time I've ever said highways and byways on the air.
And not what, singing.
What is the name given to the transverse piece near the top of the pole that supports, I guess it supports, it says sports, but I think it supports the insulators and the wires. And Harry from New York, what do you think it is?
It's called a cross tree.
A cross what?
Tree.
No.
Not what we were looking for.
No.
Well, check it out.
Okay.
We consulted with Con Edison and Lilco and everybody else, and we looked it up in a book to check them out. And, in fact, I learned this new
word.
Did you
find that word cross tree anywhere you were looking? Alvin?
Nothing. Nothing okay. In any of the architectural dictionaries or anything.
Okay.
Well, we thank you for your call. Better luck next time. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be taking more calls on home repair problems and, I guess, guesses on the quiz, although this is a toughie. Our number is 212-433-9692. My guests are Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, the gurus of how-to, accurate building inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. We're back with the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, and we are taking your calls at 433-9692. We go now to Robert from Rye, New York. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's going on with your issue?
Quick question for you about this new, I think it's a new product called Permanent Siding. I have asbestos shingles on my house. It's 1928, and they covered up some old, beautiful cedar shakes, and I don't want to go through the expense of asbestos removal, so I've been told, hey, you can go vinyl over it. I'm not a lover of vinyl, but now I'm seeing this permanent siding, and a carpenter I know said you should check it out. It looks pretty good. Do you know anything about it?
Well, there's a lot of...
Wait, hold on a minute. Okay, yeah. If this is a particular material, is it by a lot of companies or only by one?
It's a good question. You know, I heard about it.
Because I haven't heard of it. I mean, there are many different kinds of siding, fiberglass, vinyl, aluminum, and so on.
I heard it from a reliable carpenter, and then I get a coupon in the mail to investigate. It says permanent spray-on siding.
Spray-on?
What I'd love for you to do, because I really don't want to give out any misinformation about the material,
yeah.
If you have a link or something like that about the material, forward it on to me at larry@ubell.com and make sure on the thing you type in the information, permanent siding.
Okay.
And I will look at it, and if you include your telephone number, I'll give you a buzz and let you know what I think.
And Ubell is spelled U-B-E-L-L.
Okay.
Right.
Last time
people sometimes complain to me that you don't they sent you something and you didn't respond, and the reason is that they didn't spell your name correctly.
Yeah, but well, that's why I didn't respond. I probably didn't respond.
Yeah, you
so
didn't get
busy.
It. No, you didn't
that's
get it.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah, you didn't spell my name right. That's always a good excuse.
But
I've heard that one before.
larry@ubell.com, U-B-E-L-L, and send it to me, and I'll take a look. I don't want to give out any information about it, okay?
Yes, and we have good sources that we can find out more about it.
And since we spoke to Robert in Rye, we're going to stay in Rye. What is this, all these callers from Rye? Here's right Arthur.
Yes, Arthur.
Arthur.
Good afternoon. Problem, water and basement. Back in August when we had the hurricane rains, there was a large amount of water in the basement, and I found one area where a utility pipe came through the foundation and used advice you had given on a previous show to put in hydraulic cement. There appears to be some residual moisture in the basement. I had problems with linoleum tiles curling up and also probably some mold on a cinder block foundation wall. Now that we're beginning to have rain again, I want to know if there's some special test I should, assuming I don't have a lot of water in the basement today, is there some special test or procedures I should try to do to learn if there's an issue with groundwater? Now, I live on a hill that's below grade level of the road, so I don't know if runoff or drainage is another issue.
Let me, well, in order for us to give you a real definitive answer to your question is we really have to know the topography of the whole area, because there are a lot of conditions that we can come up with solutions. But as far as the entrance of a utility coming through a foundation, before you put in this hydraulic cement, it is sometimes better to pack in some material called oakum into that hole or that cavity around it, and pack it in good with a screwdriver and a hammer until it's really good and tight, and then put that hydraulic cement in around it. Or you could use a material called Porock, which is even better because that expands inside the masonry while it is curing and makes a real good tight fit.
Also, Bacarod would probably work pretty good too.
Bacarod,
and that's spelled Backer-ROD.
Yeah, and that works very well, but you have to pack it in order for that material to have a foundation that it supports it while it's curing in place. As far as the relative humidity or the water table and other issues, whether the basement was ever membrane waterproofed, whether you have a membrane underneath the concrete slab on the floor, and a whole host of other conditions that bring to water into a basement. In fact, immediately after this show, we're going to a site where they have almost 6 inches of water coming into their basement, into a brand new condo or co-op or something like
that. But if the problem is that, and this is with everyone with wet basements, the first issue you should try as far as dampness is obviously a dehumidifier. The second one is a sump pump in the basement. But the third one, which is very useful, is installation of a sub-slab drainage system, or also known as a French drain. And this is where you put a perforated pipe around the whole perimeter of the interior of the basement, all pitched toward a sump pump area, and that will alleviate that water problem. That installation, depending on the size of your basement and the size of the home, could be anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 to install. But it's very effective, especially if you're using that area as some sort of livable space, a den or a playroom or what have you.
But if he lives in the country and he has a lower topography adjacent to the building, he can eliminate the sump pump and outdrain all of that water by gravity.
That's true.
A lot of things that you can do, but it has to be analyzed strategically and intelligently.
Thank you so much for calling us, Arthur. We go now to Patience, who's been waiting patiently. She's from Stony Point.
You saw that coming a mile away, I'm sure you did, right? Okay.
Hi. This must be mold day with this weather, but I also have a mold problem. I rent a small, very small studio, which is an actual building.
Mm-hmm.
It sticks out from a very large building. I think it was originally the garage of the place that was built in the 1930s. And the building is brick. It's about 400 square feet. It has along the side a small garden, and on the other side it has dirt also.
But let me ask you a question. What part of the house are you getting the mold in?
It's a studio, it's not a house.
But what part of the house? The floor, the walls?
The walls.
And is there a basement below this area?
No.
What I believe is happening there is that moisture is wicking up through the foundation and into the wall cavities. I don't know if there's a wood frame building or a masonry building.
It's brick.
It's brick on the outside, but I don't know if it's backed up with wood or it's an actual masonry building. If it's a masonry building, what's happening is water is actually wicking up through the masonry and then coming to the inside. What probably needs to happen is, like you just described about the soil around the outside, I would probably lower the level of the soil around the perimeter of the building so you're keeping the moisture level away from the walls. And that will probably stop the mold. One of the things you might also, I know we keep saying this over and over, but you might want to try a dehumidifier inside to bring that humidity level down. But if it's coming up through the walls, unfortunately say that this is a condition where one would actually have to examine the property and make an assessment of the property on site. It's not one of those ones you can give a telephone diagnosis to.
Yeah, now, but another thing that she can get is a hygrometer. And the hygrometer will tell you whether the relative humidity in your space is above 50%. Once it's above 50%, you're going to have condensation and dripping and mold growth because you actually created almost like a petri dish out of your space.
How do you get a hygrometer?
It's sold in like cutlery stores.
Oh, in the hygrometer stores.
Yeah.
Well, actually online. You can pick one up. I actually looked at it the other day. You could pick a psychrometer or a hygrometer up from anywhere as low as $20 up to $150.
But you should buy a small little what they call a hair hygrometer, which works perfectly fine for residential usage.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of people who think they have the answers to the quiz. Cheryl from Manhattan. Hi.
Hi, Cheryl.
What do you think it is?
Yardarm.
Close, but it's not a ship.
No, but I was thinking along the same lines with the spars and the yardarms and the mast.
No, they don't. The utility guys don't call it a yardarm.
Thank you so much. And Ellie from New York, what do you think it is?
A crossbeam.
Close, but not on.
Everybody's getting very close, but not the answers.
No.
You can keep on trying. Our number
just
here is 212.
Just one hint. If we took all your answers and merged them together, we might have pretty close to the answer.
Put them all together. 212-433-9692 is the number that we ask you to call. In fact, we have another call. It just came in from Kathleen from Jersey City. What do you think it is?
Hi, I'm actually in Hoboken. I think it's a cross arm.
That music can only mean one thing.
Did you figure it out because of all the other guesses, or did you know?
No, I actually asked my father, who was a lineman, for
that worked. You know what? That works for me.
I like that.
That works for me. So,
well, but that is the right answer.
That's the right answer.
Ask a lineman; he'll know the answer.
Yes.
Okay. Not a Wichita lineman, but just a lineman.
So here's a
lineman.
So what does she get for that?
She gets Save Money, Save Energy by Al Ubell and George Merlis.
Yeah, and by the way, that in that book, it also has that energy audit that we're giving away for nothing. So if anybody wants that energy audit to save energy, all they have to do is call go onto the website at www.accuratebuilding.com, and there it is.
But for Catherine, she can just simply look in the book that she's going to get. We're going to put her on hold. Catherine, we're going to put you on hold, and one of my producers will take your address.
Terrific. Thanks okay? a lot, guys.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Congratulations. Yes. That was a hard one. I didn't think we were going to get an answer.
We just didn't get phone calls for this one, did we?
Yeah.
Well, it was too hard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, it wasn't too hard, obviously.
Well, if your father's a lineman.
Lucy. Someone's father's got to be a lineman.
Now all the world knows.
Lucy from Westchester.
Yes,
hi.
Lucy.
Hi. I have a 4-year-old shower in an old house we moved in 4 years ago, and it knocks when you turn it on unless you pull up the thing very slowly, almost like you're squeezing
yes.
out the water.
Okay. The shower was... The whole bathroom was reinstalled only 4 years ago?
Yeah, and the first 3 years were fine, and it's the past year.
Oh, if it was fine for 3 years and it happened, what could be happening is, believe it or not, where the valve comes through the wall, right, there are actually pipes that go up, hopefully, there are pipes that go up inside the wall and are dead ends above it, and those are called anti-knock chambers, and they are filled with air. And when the water stops or you change something, that is like a shock absorber for the water. Those that actually might be filled with water. So one of the things you might want to try doing is draining the whole building out. And that means is you shut the water main off, and in front of the water main or on the upstream side, the house side, of the shutoff valve is a drain spigot, which you open up, and then you turn up, open all the valves throughout the house and let all the water drain out. Hopefully a hose.
Well, it drains out into the front of the house?
Or into the basement, but you have to have buckets and so on, or a drain or something to put it into.
And you got to shut off your water heater to do that. You got to shut off the water heater.
Everything. Well, you don't have to shut off. Just turn it all the way down.
Yeah.
Because it won't turn. If you turn it down past vacation, all that stuff, your heat, and just let the water drain out of the building. And you let that happen for a few hours. And make sure all the valves throughout the whole house are open. Then you shut all the valves off and turn the water back on. And you'll get a lot of air in the system, but that may actually solve your problem.
Okay.
All right.
Give that a shot.
Thank you so much for calling. We got an email from a listener who says, I live in a small frame house built in 1923 with the consequent cracks in the ceilings, etc. A triple lot construction is about to happen right next door, and I'm very concerned about damage I might suffer as a result. Do you recommend getting someone to check out the house beforehand so if the ceiling falls, I have documentation?
Well, actually, our firm does this all the time. When there's construction going on next door, there is a whole set of rules and regulations as to the protection of adjacent properties. And the builder or developer or whatever is going on next door has an obligation to protect all adjacent properties. But it is also your obligation in order to establish what the condition of that your building was prior to the commencement of construction. And a photographic documentation is mandatory of every wall, every ceiling, every outside, inside, anything. And also, if there is any existing cracks in your house, you have to scratch in what is known as a datum mark. This is a mark that you scratch horizontally and diagonally where exactly the intersecting point should be, right on that crack. So if the crack starts to move, you will know which direction the moving is, and you have to date it when that scratch was made.
But this is very important. I mean, just not to get into the minutiae of the detail of it, but if someone's doing construction next door, the first thing you should do is take out your digital camera and take pictures of everything, and also the corners of the door frames. That's where cracks occur. Door frames and windows. And anywhere there's a crack now, take a picture of that too. And if it opens up or anything, the exterior of the building on the side of the construction. And take a picture wherever there's stress in the building and every part of the building. And also take a picture of a newspaper from the day you do the documentation, so they can, on the beginning of the roll, the end of the roll, so they know that you've done the proper thing.
The better thing is the telephone that has a date and a time on it. You could take a picture of your cell phone right inside, and that cell phone is really is that
right? Because you can use an old newspaper, but you can't use an old date on a cell phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Raul. From where are you, Raul? From Brooklyn.
Yes, that's correct. I have an old house. We think it's about 1860.
Mm-hmm.
We just moved in a little while ago. It's wood frame with brick filling. It's very odd.
That's called. The bricking.
Called nogging.
Nogging, thank you.
Nogging, great. I'll share that with my family.
Okay, go on.
Actually, it's next month's quiz.
Eggnog.
No, we used nogging already.
We did that already, actually. But go on.
Anyway, so anytime you buy a property, you have to prioritize. And we kind of took care of the interior space first. It might have been the stupid thing to do. But anyway, there's as in many of these old houses, a big beam in the basement that is kind of a support thing.
Yes, the prop wall.
We have to make this very quick. I'm sorry, Rob.
What's your question?
There's a really major sag. The entire thing just kind of leans into the middle, and I'm gonna have to put in new footings under that beam. Does it make any sense to try to bring in someone to straighten out the house, or will everything just crack to hell?
Well, any sagging like that has to be figured out how much it's sagging and why it's sagging. And in other words, just to correct the symptom is not a good way of doing it. Let's find out what causes that symptom and then fix it.
So you might actually engage some soft cost there, like hiring an architect, an engineer, or some kind of specialist who understands what is real, the dynamics of what's going on. But just to start propping things up and putting new footings in and pushing up this beam may cause a lot of the problems, like not only cracking but also broken pipes.
That's right. So you got to be very careful.
So don't be penny wise and pound foolish in this case.
Yeah, actually get advice of a professional.
Now we've pretty much run out of time. I want everybody to know you'll be back on November 14th. We got lots of calls that we couldn't get to that I wish we could have. But they can get in touch with you, Larry. Larry at Ubell, UBELL.com. And include a phone number because that's the way that Larry can get back to you.
Yes.
And don't get upset if he doesn't get back to everybody.
Yes.
Did I say it all right?
Yes.
Yes. And you're terrific. You're hired.
And Alvin, you have something to say?
Yes. And we'll be back again where we show all of New York, New Hampshire, Connecticut how to go forth and fix, save energy,
money, and do it safely.
And that will all be on November 14th when the Gurus of How To, Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, return. Thank you both so much. On tomorrow's show, Tim and Nina Zagat reveal some of the surprises in their new survey of the best restaurants in New York City. And our latest underreported takes a look at how the new farm bill may affect the safety of meat products. Also, new research into the impact of the use of antibiotics in chickens. By the way, if you missed something on the show or just want to hear something again, you can listen to archives of past programs on WNYC.org. The Let It Lopate Show is produced by Sarah English and Blake Neshek. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. We had help today from Stephen Valentino, Paula Crossfield, Samantha Morgenstern, Rory Bernstein, Fran Jacobs, and Scott Goldberg. Debbie Daughtry is at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. We'll see you tomorrow.